Welcome to episode 84 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
This week, you can have three thumbs, internet cookies, wasting money on technology, and how the internet showed up for net neutrality. Without further ado, let's get started. Derek, you're up.
So my topic is about the, quote, third thumb. So this person named Danny Claude, a grad student at London's Royal College of Art, created something called the third thumb, which is a 3D printed prosthetic that is just a second thumb on one hand that you just strap to it. You can operate it with a foot pedal, and it's really weird and interesting, and you should go, like, there's a video on the article that'll be in the show notes. You should go watch it. It's fascinating, and it's completely unnecessary nature, but it's cool. So anyway, the whole point of this is that she talks about the word prosthetic, meaning to add or to put onto and not to fix or replace. Normally, when we think of a prosthetic, we mean like, okay, replace the leg of someone who got their leg chopped off or whatever. But she wants to take this and be like, here, add something else onto your body that you haven't, that nobody else has, but could be useful. I just thought this was interesting. This kind of falls into like almost the realm of cyborg, even though it's not like a permanent, I think it has to be like a permanent alteration for it to be like cyborgian.
Cyborgian? Is that really a thing?
I'm making it a thing now. It's exclusively copyright Tech Reformation 2017. But anyway, what do you guys think of this? Is this crazy, or do you see it like changing the future?
Can I just say, first of all, how much I appreciate deeply your resiliency with the consonants in the word prosthetic, because I think you said it three times,
not resiliency.
And every time I heard every single consonant, and it was beautiful.
Well, good. How do people normally say prosthetic?
Prosthetic.
Ah, yes.
No, yeah. Derek's is the right way. Yay.
Yeah, I know. I know it is. That's why I appreciate it.
Anyway, so yeah. Thoughts on the third thumb. This is a thing that gets a reaction from people, and I'm interested in hearing your reactions.
It creeps me out a little bit. as in, like, it's kind of cool technology, I guess. Although it seems like the way that you have to use it, it's like pressing with your feet, right? Like you have to do certain pressure point things to make it happen. I don't know. It might change the future of thumbs, I guess, but I don't know if it'll change the future of anything else beyond that. To me, I think it would just be too much of a strange oddity to get used to. That it, like, obviously it doesn't feel like part of your hand, but you know, it's there. So I would liken it at the moment to me. It seems like, you know, I don't know if you remember when you're a kid and you go to like a fair or something and you get one of those long plastic handles with like a shark's head on the end or something that grabs onto things and you walk around picking things up with it. And then later you realize this is actually slower than if I just used my actual hand to pick up that thing.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's like, it's a cool idea to try and work out how can we sort of augment our bodies in a non-permanent way that does have beneficial effects or, you know, speed up basic tasks and all that kind of thing. I think that's an interesting project to work on. But at this stage, I just feel like, yeah, if you're having to sort of, you know, tap your feet and do a certain jig to get your third thumb to help you pick something up or something, I don't know. It just seems a bit random.
We're already doing that for Apple Watches. It gets us to dance around, do a jig, clap our hand three times, and now we can see our text messages.
Yep. Except there's no moving parts, but, you know. Yeah, actually, I was thinking the exact same thing as Craig was talking about, like, things that augment our reality that in, like, a non-permanent way. Well, it's like, well, that's my Apple Watch, or it was my Apple Watch. Actually, side note, Tanya just went in on her own to get my Apple Watch fixed, which she,
nice.
God bless her. She's a wonderful woman. But yeah, that's the Apple Watch. These are the wearable future.
I guess the difference, there's a slight difference. They are pretty similar, and I can certainly see why you kind of equate them in a lot of ways. I think there's a slight difference in that watches have always been a thing that help us do other things, like tell the time. And whereas this is like, it's more of an augmentation of our existing capabilities, I guess you could say. It's actually adding an extra digit to our digits and then sort of helping us to physically do things that we didn't do before rather than sort of conceptually, like check an email or, you know, something like that, something that's kind of digital and disconnected from us in some way. So, I don't know. It's I don't know. Is it useful, though, in the long term? I'm really interested to hear what Ben thinks.
Okay, okay, I'll bite. You don't have to push me any further. I'll respond. I will take the role of fundamentalist here, and I will say there's a reason God created us with two thumbs and not three guys. I don't know why we think we can invent a better human form than God. But spoiler alert, we are not more creative than the creator.
Well done.
And that's all I have to say about three thumbs.
All right, then. If you have opinions about the third thumb, please feel free to let us know in the Slack, which, you know, you can get to at slack.techreformation.com. But for now, let's go on to our next topic. Ben, what do you have for us?
So this week, I wanted to talk about a new podcast I subscribe to and have been listening to by Mozilla. That's right, Mozilla, the organization that developed Firefox, the web browser that no one uses.
Or Godzilla's brother.
Hey, I use Firefox all the time. It's my preferred
I wondered
browser.
What the response to that would be. Anyway, so Mozilla has a podcast called IRL, which stands for In Real Life, because internet life is real life, or at least that's what they say on the show every week. The first episode was about cookies and internet privacy. Do you guys know what cookies are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if anyone listening doesn't know what cookies are the this thing.
They're delicious.
Where a web... No, not that kind of cookie, Derek.
Chocolate chip.
Get your hand out of the cookie jar.
Oh. Oh,
I'm slapping your hand. Oh. That's that sound effect. Okay, can you fix this up in post with the sound effect? Okay.
Oh, yes. Yep, I can do that.
Cookies are this technology that websites use to store information about you, the user, that they can use the next time you visit their website to present maybe preferences or your location or something like that so that they remember it for next time. And like the latest evolution of cookies, developers have gotten really smart. And so they'll just store like a unique identifier string of numbers and letters and things. And then they'll just look up in their database your user preferences, and then they can store limitless information. So they're not limited to the size of the cookie anymore. If you want to know more about cookies and what they are, there's a really great YouTube explainer. It's like 4 minutes in the show notes that you can see, and you'll understand and hear a better explanation than what I just gave. But anyway, on the podcast, IRL by Mozilla, they talk about it, and they say that data is the new oil, that it's the most valuable resource on the planet now, data, and that everyone has your data because of things like cookies, and privacy is actually dead. It doesn't exist anymore because everyone knows everything about you, and they share it with each other, and that's why you see all of those ads for underpants that one time you freaking Googled underpants. Has anyone ever heard of MeUndies, for example? Case in point. So, my question is, what do you guys think about privacy on the internet? Do we have a right to privacy? Is the use of cookies morally wrong, and should we stop using them?
I can't imagine, like, that being the question. I can't imagine them being morally wrong. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what sin we might be committing, other than maybe lack of wisdom in protecting ourselves, I guess. But I mean, I don't necessarily feel that danger either. So yeah, I don't know what's the sin there to make it morally wrong.
Well, that's actually kind of my point. I think that the podcast episode presupposed a lot of things about right to privacy. And so I just wonder, do you guys think that we have a right, maybe a God-given right or a country-given right, maybe a little bit lesser, to privacy? Craig, what do you think? You don't live in the United States.
That's right, I don't. This is, I think we do. I mean, to an extent, I think as soon as you go and do something that's illegal, then you should be allowed to be pulled up for that. So people who are into really horrible things on the internet that are illegal and punishable by law should be able to be found out and told off. Having said that, if we don't have a right to privacy, then online banking is kind of a non-thing, or at least a lot of people wouldn't be keen on it. So I think in terms of your actual question about cookies and is it wrong, I would probably say it would be nice if everyone, and I guess most places do, probably there's some small players or websites who don't care. I think if you set up a website that uses cookies and you have a privacy policy that says, hey, we do this and it helps us do this, and if you've got a problem with that, don't use our service, then you're giving people the option of finding out what's happening, and if they're not comfortable, then they can stop using it. So that's kind of how I'd, you know, if I was, you know, building a site or something, I'd be doing that so that I sort of am doing the right thing, at least according to my conscience, and then let other people deal with their end of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It was really interesting. Yeah, it was really interesting, the conclusion of the whole episode. Let me just read a quick quote here. It's really important that business has rules to play by and the government has more ability to look under the hood. A person needs to be able to make the choice. But if you don't have the means of knowing that you're being tracked, if you aren't able to make a meaningful choice, that's a whole different thing. That's not right. That's not human autonomy. Derek, what do you think about that?
Well, the whole deal with the privacy thing is that when knowledge is power, it's a good phrase to slide in here. The more someone knows about everyone, like Facebook knows a lot about its users because, you know, it has to in order to serve good ads, the more power it has to, do whatever they want with it. Like, that's why we find privacy so important in this day and age of the internet, is because the more power that any given organization has, the less they can be held accountable with what they're doing. And that's really important in order to be able to keep a free internet going, a free and neutral internet. So I think the value of privacy is a good one to have. It's not one that's, I'm sure you could extrapolate some things that would corroborate that value in the scriptures. I don't have anything off the top of my head, but it's a good one to have. It's not something that we have. I don't think it's in our constitution or anything. Like, there are certain elements of the constitution that would, you know, enable a certain right of privacy in certain circumstances. Anyway, so it's not like all like straight up a human right. It's a lot more nuanced than that, but I think it's important. So cookies should be used responsibly.
It's what my mom always taught me.
On the note of what the Bible has to say, I did some looking this week just to try and kind of get some sort of up or down on this and what I thought about it. And I'm going to say that Paul tells the Thessalonians to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. So I think there is some warrant biblically for us to have some sort of privacy, some semblance of privacy. But then I also think that there's a healthy balance to be struck, because, you know, if you look at like the way Jesus tells us that we are to operate, to love one another in church, like in Matthew 18, when he talks about confronting each other with sin, that's actually a loving thing that we can do. And to not do that would be actually a subtle form of hatred, or an active form of hatred, depending on the situation. And so there is sort of a lack of privacy, I think, that's built into a local church where you're doing life with each other in such a way that you know each other's affairs, and that you're able to encourage each other in your walk with Jesus. And you know, I think the real problem here is not a desire for privacy, but a coveting of privacy. Hmm. When the desire for privacy, it becomes inordinate, right? It becomes a greater desire than the desire for Jesus. And I think, you know, it's all based in a fallacy. Like, it's just not true. We think we have this this ultimate privacy that we don't actually have. Jesus says in Luke 12, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. And I think the idea is there that even when we think we're being private, God knows and sees everything that happens.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware designs fun and useful things to broadcast your faith and display your Reformed nerdery for the world to see. The designs are really beautiful, with creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers available for printing across a variety of items. I'm going to talk about t-shirts here for a second. I just noticed that Missionalware has updated the stock with a bunch of new designs that look really great. There's a new Spurgeon one that looks really cool that you can get for pre-order at the moment. They've also updated a lot of their shirts to have tri-blend and tri-blend v-neck tee options. So check that out. Those are great. Everybody loves tri-blend stuff. So if you haven't checked out Missionalware in a while, go on over there. Get yourself a buttery smooth tri-blend t-shirt. Missionalware has been doing their thing for over 6 years, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian, whether you've just now started discovering our history or whether you've been a theology nerd for years. You can check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
Okay, Tank, you're up next. What do you have this week?
So my first question is, has any of you heard of Vertu? Because I had not.
No.
Yes, yeah, so Vertu, that's probably one of the reasons why this is happening. The fact that none of us knew about them. They're going under. So Vertu is a luxury phone provider. They sold phones that cost $11,000.
Was it solid gold?
They're made from precious metals and fine hand-cut leather. And then whenever it goes a little bit further down, it says they're just candy bar phones. So before they weren't even really smartphones. And so its point is when people actually started really needing phones, their audience shrunk because they were still making candy bar phones.
Yeah, because so they're basically Nokia phones that are in precious metals, essentially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, and it says, so they're made from precious metals and fine hand-cut leather. And then at the bottom it says, these phones started to even make less and less sense, even with features like sapphire screens and super secure communication systems. So it had sapphire screens, gold casing. Wow. Yeah. All to cost $11,000 just to show off how rich you are, which that could be a whole other topic that we don't need to go down. I'm more interested in hearing stories from you all. What is a piece of tech that you bought and just felt like it was a complete waste of money? So I'll go first to give an example. So mine, I bought a Raspberry Pi. Because I was like, man, I know Raspberry Pis are going to be useful. I don't know exactly how I'll use it, but as soon as I buy it, I know I'll figure out the reason why I want to buy it. And so I bought it.
I remember you saying that to us in an episode, you were going to get one, and you weren't sure exactly what you'd use it for, but you were looking forward to getting it anyway.
Yep. That was a year and a half ago, and I've turned it on once. So I never figured it out. And so it wasn't a huge amount of money. So I wasn't super upset with it that I did that. But still, I was like, well, that was dumb. And Michelle randomly reminds me of it. Are you ever going to do anything with that? No, at this point, I don't think I will. It's just sitting in a dresser. So yeah, you guys have any fun stories like that?
You know, there have been times that I've bought things off of sales. Nothing is coming to mind right now. But I do know that feeling of I just spent this money on this thing just because, I could. It doesn't happen often because usually I'm really invested in any tech purchases because you know, I limit myself on what I can buy. I have to like think about it for like 5 months before I can, you know, buy it or something like that. So it doesn't happen often, but I know what you mean. I can't imagine spending $11,000 on a phone, but, you know, given a certain salary, I'm sure that could be very easy to do. But yeah.
A couple of years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago now, I was running my own, small business, digital media from home. So I was doing a lot of web design and video production basically. And, I was just working from my 15-inch MacBook Pro and decided I needed a bigger screen. So I researched, found one that I thought was good. It was a Samsung LED lit, you know, full HD monitor. So I bought the monitor. It looks very nice. The colors and the screen are great. It works well. Then within about 6 months, I was working on some video projects and just went, you know what? This laptop is just not holding up. I need something more powerful. So I bought an iMac. And the screen size on the iMac is exactly the same as the screen size on my other $300 monitor. So I forked out whatever it was for the iMac, $1,500 or $1,800 or something, plus the $300 for the monitor. And since then, the monitor's rarely been used. Although I kind of look for reasons to use it. I'm like, ooh, maybe I could use an extra monitor. Maybe I could just type on my laptop and, you know, instead of using my iMac for this one, and I'll plug it into the extra monitor so I've got a second thing. But the other one that was really silly and a lot less expensive than the $300 monitor was an iPod dock. My wife and I, when we first got married, bought an iPod dock because we thought it'd be fun to be able to play music in the house. And this was kind of in the days when Bluetooth was really only used for Bluetooth headsets in cars. It wasn't really a thing for other devices. So the only way you can plug into it is with an auxiliary cable, or you could actually physically plug the phone in with its charging thing. But again, as soon as I went from a phone with the old school charger to the lightning adapter, that was out of the question. So I look at that as probably my most useless piece of tech.
I just went through the last 6 years of my Amazon order history.
Wow.
And I've not found one thing that I would offer up on this.
That's impressive.
But I will give a fun fact. Apparently, the very first thing I ever bought on Amazon with my own account, February 6th, 2011, was Boy Meets World, the complete fourth season.
It's definitely worth making an Amazon account for.
Along with the Truman Show movie, which is a great movie.
That is a good movie. Nice.
I mainly just wanted to hear the stories as I know none of us would buy an $11,000 phone, and that would be easy to agree on. Like, yeah, that would be a terrible stewardship for our money. But yeah, I think it's worth just considering sometimes, when we're going to make a purchase on tech, like we are using whatever amount of money. And that of course is a gift from God. And so, yeah, I think it's worth, just taking a little more time to check our standards of why we want to purchase this piece of tech. And is it worth getting the 64 gigabyte version instead of the 32 gigabyte version? You know, just like all the small decisions that maybe just spend a minuscule amount of money. But yeah, it is a gift of God to be used on the people around you and for the kingdom. And so even those small decisions, we can glorify God with our money. So that was just one of the things that I wanted to kind of draw attention to. How about you, Craig?
I would like to talk a little bit. Hopefully, this won't get into a hugely long debate or anything. But I want to talk about net neutrality, mainly because this last week there was a thing that happened on the internet. And even in real life, people, you know, actually got away from their computers and did some protesting. The thing with net neutrality is basically keeping it so that ISPs can't have a lot of control over the customer. So, you know, charging extra for being able to visit certain sites, or charging the provider of the site extra because of the type of site they are, which I think has, you know, involved Netflix, for example, because they do streaming and it takes up a lot of bandwidth, them getting charged extra just because of who they are as a business. So basically keeping the internet sort of available easily to everyone, no matter what it is. There was, you know, they're wanting to reverse, the FCC plans to reverse Title II, a set of legal frameworks that prevent internet service providers from exerting too much control over your experience, Without Title II, ISPs could potentially slow your internet speed based on the websites you visit or block certain services and websites altogether. So in response to this, obviously there's a bit of an uproar. A whole bunch of businesses and prominent people came out in, you know, against the idea of reversing Title II. And so there was a lot of sort of hoo-ha about just a big online protest, basically. This article kind of goes through some of the big players and what they did and whether or not they thought it was, like, Reddit apparently had a pop-up window that kind of grayed out the screen and then super slowly typewritered onto the screen a message about net neutrality. So it just, like, really slowed down what you were doing. And Kickstarter had, like, a full-page defend net neutrality thing as soon as you went to their website and that kind of thing. And then Google wrote a blog post. So there were all different sort of ways of getting involved with this. But the thing that I thought was interesting was one of the sort of key aspects to this discussion. So there's the side that's about freedom and freedom of sort of access and equal access without getting charged extra or getting blocked from things that you want to be able to access for a particular reason. So there's that side of things. And then there's the freedom of speech thing. You know, what if ISPs start shutting down certain websites because they don't like the content in terms of what it's saying or what it's, you know, ideas that it's presenting or something like that. And I guess what's interesting to me is, as Christians, I don't know about you guys in America at the moment, but as a Christian in Australia, anytime I take a stand for the gospel, you know, publicly, whether it's among workmates or friends online or whatever, I'm super thankful for freedom of speech because it allows me as a believer to say, well, no, this is what I believe the Bible defines as true and what God defines as good. And therefore, in this situation, this is what I think is actually the right way to be living or whatever. So any of those sort of discussions that Christians might have with non-Christians where they're kind of talking about a particular topic and trying to work out where is the right place to land, freedom of speech is really good. But our society is really pushing towards no freedom of speech for people who disagree with me. So this idea of, you know, we want freedom of speech as long as it's in the echo chamber of the big topics, you know, pro-homosexual marriage, pro-rights for any particular minority you can think of that, you know, that would be on the agenda, pro-choice. Like, there's all of these big hot-button issues that society is saying, you can say whatever you want unless you speak against these things. And then we want to actually start to actively sort of shut you down. So, I just want to ask you guys, do you think it's inconsistent for secular society at large to kind of be saying, hey, we want freedom of speech on the internet, but then if you say things that disagree with the sort of postmodern progressive societal moral values, we do want to stop you from saying that because that's hate speech or whatever. Do you know what I mean? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think don't censor anyone except the people that disagree with me is inconsistent.
Yep.
No, well, I don't. Yeah, okay. So do I. That's good. We all agree. Which doesn't happen very often. I was expecting some kind of disagreement somewhere along the line.
Well, so I will say something in defense of the people who would say things that sound what Ben would have described it as. I think there are sometimes people who say things that comes off exactly like what Ben says, and yet because they don't quite they don't quite know how to present it such that usually there's sometimes extra like reasons that they might have an opinion that this person shouldn't be able to say this because it hurts other people, for instance, like, or their perception is it hurts other people, that sort of thing. Like, mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. just that it makes me uncomfortable. It's that, you know, so there's some of that. I think largely if you boil it down hard enough that it tends to usually come out the way Ben says it, but you know, there is some, we can have empathy for those people, even though they may be inconsistent, just kind of wear their shoes for a second, try to figure out why they think this makes sense. Sometimes it does make sense. And then we have another topic to discuss below that. You know what I mean?
So are you saying we should call the world on their inconsistency in this matter or not?
I think most of the time that doesn't work because they don't see they're inconsistent and yet can't, describe why. So if you can kind of like ask questions around like the fence, as it were, like to try to figure out where there's a way in to see, oh, I think you mean this. Do you mean this? You know, ask a lot of questions, figure out where you can, you know, find something to talk about. Because normally there's a stonewall there when you say, oh, I'm offended by you. You shouldn't say this, blah, 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 blah. So that's my thoughts.
Love your enemies.
Yes. Yeah, sure. What Ben said.
It's
for sure.
It's possible as well, like the world, like the non-Christian world sees many of the things Christians do as inconsistent too. Like, mm-hmm. I know one that I've heard is making a big deal about homosexuality, but not about divorce and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think I've heard the explanation of what a straw man is. I only really recently feel like I understand it. So I'm going to try to use it correctly. I think that's a straw man. You know, it's like, oh, you're inconsistent in this because you also believe this, but really we're not, that doesn't prove or disprove whether or not the thing is right or wrong. So it's just like saying you shouldn't believe that because you also believe this. And it's like, okay, well, maybe I do need to deal with that belief, but at the same time, let's deal with the issue at hand. And so, yeah. I think that might be another reason.
So it's kind of like a red herring. Like it's maybe. Distracting distracting from the actual topic. Mm-hmm. Straw man, similar though, that's like, you know, putting up a false argument that just isn't even representing the other person accurately.
Gotcha.
I think that's true. And I think, I think all of those, like everything that's been said is good. I think Ben's right. Whenever we do engage the world on these things, and I guess sometimes there's a temptation for us as Christians and precept people to kind of, you know, take the, well, inconsistency is a sign of a failed argument. And so let's show you that you've got a failed argument. But when we are chatting to people with a different worldview, who might disagree with us really passionately about some of this stuff, even though their argument might not be consistent. We do need to do it with gentleness and respect, and that is part of the mark of being a Christian anyway. So, yeah, interesting to think about. If you've got any other thoughts on it, let us know in the Slack.
If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack team. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com. And you can follow us on Twitter @TechReformation.
And if you can do us a huge favor, please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts or recommend us on Overcast, or even better yet, just recommend us to a friend that you know is interested in, you know, theology and tech stuff. We'd love to have them join the ranks.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back.
I wasn't actually paying attention to what I'm doing. Let me,
clearly.
Section starts with
stating the obvious, Captain Obvious.
It's a great live stream. We should do this all the time.